everyone. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is the Split Screen Podcast. For our regular listeners, yes, the both of you, welcome back. How are you guys doing? Are you guys good? Awesome. And to any new listeners, I hope, welcome! This is our regular monthly episode of Bollywood News Roundup, as well as looking at trailers for movies that are releasing in September 2018. Bollywood movies in particular. Now, with me today, I have a legit celebrity on the show. Like, I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. I'm not exaggerating. This person is, by definition of the word, an influencer. She's a member of the three-syllable name club. The first Bangladeshi to appear on this show, which, by the way, I'm Bangladeshi. That's why it's a big deal. She's a writer. She's an influencer. She's an advocate. She's everything. And I'm so excited, a little bit nervous, to introduce to everyone here her first time on not just the Space Screen Podcast, on a podcast of any kind, our own Bollywood-obsessed Kalamma, Sal Salam.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be on Split Screen. I've been listening for a really long time, and I was kind of hoping and waiting to be invited. And I've been really flaky about arranging a time and coming on. But in my heart, I was like, I need to make it because I haven't made it until I'm on Split Screen, because everyone I love gets to come on and I haven't. So I felt like I was left out of the Cool Kids Club.
That was the best reaction to one of my intros ever. And to be fair, since you bring it up, you were super flaky even until you came on. Because I'm like, I don't know if this is happening. Like, anything I say to her, she's like, cool. Well, yeah, I'll let you know. I'm like, it's supposed to start in 10 minutes. Are we doing this?
I'm the worst. I admit this. This is for posterity. If anyone wants to bring this up later and use this against me and level this against me, future employers, etc. Yes, I'm the worst. I'm a huge flake, and I embrace this, and I'm gonna roll with this. But if I make a commitment, I am like Chulbul Pandey. I will. Was it Chulbul Pandey? It
yes.
was one of those.
Yes. Yeah. Wait.
I will.
No, I think that was Ready. Wasn't that Ready?
It was, yes, so Ready. It was one of the many douchies. Can I say douchey? Can I
yeah,
swear?
Yeah, you can say douchey. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I might have to bleep it out, but yes, you can say
okay,
it.
Okay, you can bleep it out. So there's more of a mystery. They don't know what I've said.
I think that's a good thing when it comes to Salman Khan, that I think
yeah,
the ambiguity
yeah.
is good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Is he a virgin? Is he not a virgin? You know?
We're like 2 minutes in, I don't know what's happening. all right, so so let's get started. So we're gonna do, I mean, first of all, when I was mentioning that you're an influencer, mm-hmm. I need you to explain to me, I mean, because I could explain it and it would be great, but I need to ask you how the new Tumblr that you're doing
uh-huh.
okay, came about, because basically from my understanding of it is that you crashed Curious Cat's website with the crazy thousands of questions that came up, and someone was like, yo, we gotta curate this shit, because holy crap. Is that an accurate assessment of how that started?
It's like that, except less flattering to me. So I fully have... So we've already covered the fact that I'm a giant flake. I fully have 500 unanswered asks on my Curious Cat. So there was someone, this really wonderful person called Zuby, who's on Twitter, who hit me up and was like, do you need help managing this? Can we do this together? And I was like, oh my God, you are an angel sent from heaven and I love you. You are like Reshma Shetty to Salman Khan. And so I keep comparing myself to Salman Khan, which is the worst thing I could do to myself. But will endear me to our Bangladeshi fan base, which is also like very pro Salman, curiously enough. So I was like, let's do this. And I still have those 500 asks, and I've taken on this other thing. So I don't know how I'm going to manage. But the Tumblr is bollychudia.tumblr.com, which I thought was hilarious because I love bad puns. This is one of my great passions. If you've encountered me on Twitter, I'm Sal and the Bad Pun on Twitter, literally. You will know this. Everything, like, there is nothing I love more than bad puns. And if you love bad puns, come talk to me on Twitter and we can discuss.
This is your first podcast?
This is my first podcast, yeah.
Because you're, like, killing it. Like, you we're, like, 10 minutes out, and you've already promoted your blog. You promoted yourself on Twitter. Like, this is crazy. I don't even know what to do here. I'm like, I should be taking notes.
I'm vibing off the Bangladeshi energy. I think that's what it is.
Also, we're both drinking heavily.
Yeah.
So let's get on with our first topic. So we're going to look at basically Bollywood news going back to the last month. Everything that's happened, as much as we can cover. It's been a busy month, actually. So we're going to start off with, obviously, now I got murdered the last time I talked about any wedding-related information on this show. So I've brought an expert today. So I'm going to leave it up to her. Sal, you got to talk to me. So obviously, Priyanka and Nick Jonas have gotten engaged. Mm-hmm. And we, I'm assuming, have thoughts. I mean, I know you have thoughts.
Yeah.
So they recently got engaged. They did a Roka ceremony. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where Nick Jonas looked confused AF. And I'm personally just wanting more of that. I personally just want the jokes of Nick Jonas not understanding what is going on during his wedding. As I mentioned on the last show, that's really what I'm here for. Sal, give me your thoughts on this Priyanka, this PC Nick Jonas thing.
So I am very pro Nikyanka, or as I like to call them, prick, because it's funnier.
Yes.
Yes, prick is so great. So best. I'm very into prick. I think both of them make a lot of sense to me. I know a lot of people are like confused. They're like, these are two disparate parts of my childhood that have suddenly collided. What next? You know, like, is Mickey Mouse going to be engaged to Shaktiman? Or like, but I think, you know, I think they make a lot of sense together. They're both very ambitious. They both have that like world domination and entertainment agenda going on. They both work really hard. They're both great and they're both fun, but they also have a really strong sense of try, if you know what I mean. Mm. Like, you know, Priyanka has always been a trier, you know, she's a hustler, and they make a lot of sense to me. And they make a lot of sense to me as a brand. So I can see them like really like looking at each other at like last year's Met Gala and being like, let's do this.
Yes. Oh, my God. I think I brought that up on the last show with Sam, where I was talking about the fact that everyone's kind of got their panties in a bunch about it's only been 2 months. And I'm like, but wait, has it? I mean, they met a year ago. So how do we not know that things behind the scenes that haven't been publicized are on the gossip rags about their chemistry? Like, yeah, sure, they might have been appearing in public together 2 months ago, but how do we not know this has been brewing, you know, for longer than that? By the way, I do want to kind of sidebar here. I'm into prick to start trending.
Uh-huh,
hashtag
yes.
I'm into prick, because this needs to happen. For so many reasons. But how do you feel now about, I mean, I know there's a lot of, I mean, this is the meme worthy thing about this news, right, is the fact that he is a lot younger than her, which, A, who gives a shit, but also some people do, apparently. So how do you feel about that age gap? Like, and do you think people freaking out is justified? I mean, I know it's not, but, you know, I'm trying to do a podcast here.
Yeah, I don't think it's justified. I mean, let's look at one of Priyanka's exes, right? Shahid got engaged to and married to Meera Rajput. Mm-hmm. Like within like weeks, and she was a literal child. She was in college, and this was a dude who'd been there, done that, fully in his 30s. You know, she probably thought like his younger brother's rishta was being brought for her, because they're the same age, like Meera and his younger brother, who everyone calls a baby. Yeah, like everyone thinks Ishan is a baby, but it's totally fine that Meera Rajput is like married to Shahid Kapoor. Like, you know, and no one cares about the age gap. While Nick Jonas is a fully formed adult, he's like, you know, 25, 26, he's not a fetus. And, you know, the Priyanka Nick thing, yeah, there's an age difference, but like, I feel like it's less creepy because he's like a grown up, you know, he's lived, he would have fully been done with grad school and have been working for a couple of years if he were like a civilian like us, while like, you know, like Meera Rajput was probably like, you know, if she were in a North American context, it would be like your college professor, you know, like seducing one of the girls on spring break, you know. It's like so creepy, but no one cared. Everyone was like, this is couple goals, I love it, I want lenga, you know.
Yeah, that's completely true, and I love that you brought that up. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's weird to me. I don't for for whatever reason feel, I, like for example, Adel Himushkil. I love that Ashwarya Ranbir thing. I'm like, yes, more of this.
Yes,
because that to me, for whatever reason, I can't explain it. But for whatever reason, an older woman with a younger guy makes a lot more sense to me than the other way around. And it might be because of all the stigma with child marriages in our culture, but that doesn't make sense to me. The other way around makes a lot of sense to me.
I think it's also because of the power differential, right? Like men already have, like, you know, tend to have, especially in a desi context, so much power. And then older men in relationships with younger women is already so normalized. While for older women, being in a relationship with a younger guy, that's a loss for her in terms of, like, in society, in the eyes of the society, you know, she's basically going against the grain. And then there's that different power differential because she's a woman and she's, like, functioning within the patriarchy. So, like, it's like this, like, it's loss for her, you know. Like, for a man, it's like, oh, I'm going with a younger woman, so it's like, it's a win-win. She's fertile, she's young, she's a status symbol, you know, this is normalized. I'm basically Hugh Hefner. And for a woman, she gets called like a cougar or whatever. So, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for women, you know, women who date younger guys. But, you know, when it's like an older gentleman, let's say someone like Shah Rukh Khan dating a younger woman, like, let's say Priyanka Chopra, just randomly, you know, it's it feels way more problematic.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole right now. But speaking of Priyanka Chopra, continuing on the Priyanka Chopra train, we do have with another news. Basically, she did tweet out a congratulations to Ayush Sharma, who is brother-in-law to Salman Khan, on his new movie that's coming out, I think in October, maybe, Love Ratri.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I have to say, I like way too much than I should the trailers and the marketing of. But my question to you is, so she did send out this, Priyanka sent out this tweet to Ayush Sharma saying, hey, congratulations, welcome to the movie biz, blah, 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 blah. All these links will be in the show notes. my question to you is, does this feel like this is sort of publicly mitigating the fallout from her leaving Bharat? Like, oh, I'm, you know, oh, hey, I'm, hey, congratulations, bro. You know, kind of like sucking up almost to Salman Khan and his family for the way she left Bharat over this engagement to Nick Jonas, or maybe the Cowboy Viking Ninja movie that is now on hold?
Yeah, I think it's both those things. I think one of it is sort of pandering to his base, which makes complete sense to me. There's nothing more scary than a miffed off Khan stan, and their base is huge and multitudinous and fearless and scary.
Many black bucks will testify to, by the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Deer's Quake. Deer Quake. I did have a drink, so. But also, the other thing to remember is that even when she was not getting along with Salman post, got to see Greto and all those things, like when they weren't working together, she was still friends with Arpita, and they used to hang out together. So for her, she has a relationship with Arpita, and by extension, Arpita's husband, independent of Salman.
Okay.
You know?
So would you say there is some sort of genuine intent behind this tweet, and not just, again, pandering to him and not just trying to, like, mitigate that, you know, she left the movie with, you know, Salman's movie, or there is some genuine emotion behind congratulating this guy whose husband's with her, you know, a husband to her friend, to one of her friends? I've also had a drink, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's something genuine there. I think they're all boosting Ayush's film, even though, I mean, come on, like, who would care about Love Ratri, first of all, if it weren't Salman's brother-in-law's film? But also, Arpita has a lot of goodwill in the industry, like a lot. Yeah. People really care about her, and people really like her. And I think she does a lot of, like, goodwill ambassador duties for the Khan family. You know, she's like the younger generation. She's kind of like their youth liaison in a way.
I love that you've corporatized the Khan family.
I mean, it's fully a corporation. I mean, you have like the CEO, you have like, you know, you have the goose that lays the golden eggs.
And so
you
would Salim be like the PR? The communications guy?
Yeah, for sure. He's chairman emeritus, but he's also doing all the behind the scenes stuff, you know. Right. He's like that old dude who runs CBS, you
so
know.
He,
he's like
he controls the narrative essentially, right?
He absolutely controls the narrative
because he was a writer.
There you go.
Now, another person that did sort of have some tragic news recently, but he is coming out of it, Irfan Khan, who we love. You know, he was recently diagnosed with neuroendocrine cancer, and essentially he has been recovering from that. Now, one of the latest news is that, unfortunately, due to his recovery, he had to drop out of All India Bakhchod's new Amazon political satire series called Gourmet. And I loved, so I guess he was essentially, the show was created with him in mind. He was mm-hmm. the lead actor. The character was written for him, and I guess because of his recovery, it's not a commitment that he can you know continue on with. And waiting for him would make the show too out of date, and they would make AIB miss their deadline with Amazon of when the show needs to debut. And so this was released by, you know, Irfan himself. He penned a statement for Facebook, and essentially he just kind of bared his soul. And I mean, it's sad, but it's kind of. You know, you kind of see how his illness is now impacting his career in you know, I don't want to say negative ways, but essentially, you know, in significant ways. Did you know about the series, Gorman? Were you looking forward to this? And how do you feel about the fact that he's no longer doing this?
See, I didn't know about Gorman till I heard about, you know, him not being able to do it anymore. But, you know, with Irfan, anything he's in immediately becomes, like, this source of interest. Mm-hmm. Because he's one of those actors, you could, like, literally film him reading the phone book. I enjoyed him in, like, Thank You or No Problem or one of those films, you know, one of those terrible Anees Bazmi films where Akshay Kumar is, like, throwing Caucasian women in the air or,
in
you know,
fedora.
And, yeah, in a fedora.
He's ruining fedoras for me, by the way.
Yeah, like there you go. On. Like, totally, like, stepping on your brand. Right. I hate this. But and that was also set in Canada, by the way, whichever film that Irfan was in. So he's, like, so watchable that I will watch anything with Irfan in it. He's such a satisfying actor. He makes a meal out of every part. And he recently had Caravan come out, which didn't release in theaters here. So I totally missed it. But I look forward to watching it. But I do believe that anytime Irfan comes back and says, I'm ready to work, people will be lining out the door, you know, like they will be so ready to give him that work, give him work that an actor of his caliber deserves. Like, I think there's going to be so much excitement when he's ready to come back. I think so many directors and screenwriters have stuff that they have ready for him. And what Irfan can contribute and what Irfan can do, I don't think anyone else can. So I think, you know, Irfan Khan's never going to be lacking for work, no matter how long of a hiatus he takes.
Now, I do have to ask you something specific to this story, and I wanna reconnect to Priyanka Chopra for one second and talk about the way that she left Salman Khan's Bharat. And now, the way that this news broke, essentially, Irfan and, you know, based on his team, I don't want to say who wrote this, but essentially he had, I'm going to read just an excerpt of the statement he put out on Facebook, verbatim. I am gutted by this development because the character in the show thrilled me. And I even lived with the character for several months before having to cut the journey short. But after extensive discussions, workarounds, and sincere efforts by everyone involved, the situation prevents me from being able to do the show entirely. And thus, I must, at this time, exit stage left. End quote. So what I want to ask you is, Irfan Khan essentially released this beautiful sort of heartbreaking statement to announce the fact that his illness prevents him from doing an AIB Amazon Prime series that not many people knew existed. The creators of this series were essentially blacklisted from Bollywood after the whole AIB Rose situation from a couple of years ago. But he takes the time and effort to craft this statement. And it genuinely sounds like they tried to make this work. They tried for him to continue to be part of this series, but it just didn't work out. So I want to compare this reaction, this announcement, to how Priyanka Chopra left Bharat. And as far as I know, there still hasn't been any sort of official statement from her about her exit from that movie. And I just want to compare those two reactions. I want to ask you that, does that not make this statement from Irfan seem like he genuinely gives a shit about the people he's working with? Whereas Priyanka Chopra, yeah, she's probably, you know, quote unquote, bigger than Irfan. She might have a huger international global following than Irfan. But personally, to me, I look at these two reactions and I go, how unprofessional of her? My knee-jerk reaction. You know, how do you feel about that?
See, with the Priyanka thing, there's so little clarity. Like, you know, some people are saying Ali Abbas jumped the gun about, like, the announcement. Like, he had information that he wasn't authorized to share. Because Salman had a very different reaction. He sounded kind of curmudgeonly about it when he was asked about it. But then there was another article that said Katrina had been in talks for weeks. She had already read the screenplay. Yeah. She was on board. You know, she was ready to go. The moment Priyanka said she was, you know, heading out, apparently Priyanka and the team tried to make it work, you know. So it's like all these mixed messaging. So I also feel like the differences between how the narrative is functioning from a film, a team on a film as big as Bharat, which probably costs close to 200 crore.
Yeah.
And, you know, an Amazon Prime show, which is, you know, if it's AIB, it's a fairly controlled, modest yeah. affair.
Right.
You know, where they had it all figured out. And this team, like Bharat's team, did not. They had no idea how to message this.
Right.
Did they want to sound, you know, like they held a grudge against Priyanka? Did they want to celebrate her? How right. many Nick of Time puns did they want to make? Like, none of it had been figured right. out. And, you know, with Priyanka, she probably would have wanted it handled differently, because for her, she was doing this movie to sort of mark her big re-entry into the Bollywood market. Mm. You know, it was this big film. Obviously, her part in it was going to be nothing compared to what Salman would have. And she jumped when she saw an opportunity to jump. But at the same time, like, as someone who's been exposed to the Hollywood model of working, which, you know, streaming companies are bringing to India a little bit yeah. more, she probably was like watching with mouth agape at like how many mixed messages there were. And now you literally have pictures of Katrina Kaif in costume, right? Like, she, like, it took no time for her to be like in costume.
I got this. I got this.
Yeah, yeah, she was like ready, you know? So I'm really confused by how, like, also like kind of amused by how badly everyone associated with Bharat has handled this.
Yeah.
Because even now, Ali Abbas is saying one thing. Salman is saying another thing, and Priyanka Chopra is too busy putting her fiance in ugly sweater vests to really care, you know.
I don't know how many things of that to respond to, but I think Sam said it best, because essentially what I'm taking away from this is it does, like, your confusion, everything you just mentioned right now seems to be adding to the buzz, though, right? For everyone involved, you know, we're talking about Salman Khan, we're talking about Bharat, we're talking about Priyanka Chopra, we're talking about Nick Jonas, and as Sam mentioned, you know, the last episode when we talked about this in the last month's roundup, that I guess this is the intent, right? Like, you want the buzz, you want the discussion, you want the, you know, her clarifying it means that issue's done, we no longer talk about it. Like, you mm-hmm. know, and again, like, for example, this conversation started out of an Irfan piece, and we've now fully diverted into a Priyanka piece. So I guess that is the intent, and that was, you mm-hmm. know, and they've been successful in that, right? All right, our next story is something that's in, I'm going to assume, is your milieu more than mine, because I haven't seen an episode of Coffee with Karan, except for the GIFs that exist online.
You've never seen, oh my God, hold up. You've never seen an episode of Coffee with Karan?
I think I've seen clips of, like, certain guests on YouTube.
This is the most upsetting news I've ever gotten in my entire life.
But is it? Knowing what you know about me and gossip, is it really?
But then you'd get a crash course, you know, you'd watch it. Make it a drinking game. Every time Karan misuses a word, he fully does not know what prolific means, by the way. And I want to address this. I want to address this on a platform that reaches lots and lots of people, because it keeps me awake at night.
I think there's 5 people that listen to this show.
All 5 of you. No, it's fully hundreds of people, thousands of people, but he does not know how to use the word prolific. So, Karan, if you're listening, prolific does not mean what you think it means. But anyway, go on, Shah.
We've gone off the rails at this point. I don't mean. But essentially, the news items that I was going to talk about is that he's essentially announcing obviously season 6 of Coffee with Karan is coming out. He tweeted some teases and things mm-hmm. like that. I guess my question to you is it really a tease? Like, was there ever sort of a doubt? Because, again, I genuinely don't know. Was there ever a doubt that season 6 was coming, or he was going to return with Coffee with Karan? And what is Coffee with Karan Black?
I think there'd been news that he was going to start shooting the new season soon. And now he has an entirely new slew of young people that he can put on there and awkwardly sort of start dating rumors about.
Oh, my God.
Which is his milieu, which is something he's like expert at. You know, like in Kal Ho Na Ho, you had Kuari Kuri Marriage Bureau. That's Karan. That's based on Karan, by the way. I will remind you of the jingle. It went like Kuri Kuri Kuri, choose Kale Munda, 1, 2, 3. That's Karan with Alia.
I need to ask, was this off the top of your head?
Yes.
Oh my God, okay. You know way too much about
I could fully do a PhD on Karan Johar. I'm like passionate. He's like my problematic fave, you know?
So obviously you've seen Coffee with Karan. Like you're down for that. By the way, thank you for validating my correct use of the word milieu. but yeah, so are you excited for season 6?
I'm excited because, again, it's one of those things that's terrible, but you also can't look away. You know, like, Karan's, like, not a good host. He doesn't know how to ask questions. He makes everything about himself. He goes on for too long. His guests are often uninteresting. They expose their lack of knowledge about the industry they work in, where they can't name an Artie Burman song. Like, ooh, what the hell is that? Ooh. Like, shame on you. You don't know what Rani Mukherjee's debut film was? You say Raja Babu? Like, hello? Like, have you never watched a Hindi film that's not Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge? Millennial Bollywood actors? So, like, I mean, it's like, it's terrible, but at the same time, you know, it's one of those things you just can't look away because it's like watching stars hang out, you know? And I was saying this to you before we started, they fully do not have coffee in those cups. They're like drinking straight vodka.
It has to be, right? Because, yeah. I mean, if that was me, that's what I would do.
Oh, yeah.
And totally. I feel like that's one aspect of Bollywood where they're like, let's just do what Shah does. And the Shah, me, not like a Gujarati Shah.
Or Shah Rukh Khan.
Right. Oh, right. Yes. Oh, I hate that fucking comparison. Because I get that a lot. When it's like Shah, and like non-Indian people are like, oh, like Shah Rukh Khan. I'm like, no. No, nothing like Shah. You know what? Just leave. But yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, like, I know, I guess, the news that seems to, the impression I get is that a lot of people sort of, it was a surprise that he's coming back because of the whole Kangana row that started with him. Mm-hmm. On the last season where she called him out for the nepotism thing and that kind of extended out beyond the show and that became like a whole thing. Which also to me, it's kind of like, bro, you know you do it. Like, I want to see like posters where it's like, the next star kid, you know? Like just why feign sort of ignorance? Why feign like, oh no, this is not, no, they're just the most talented. And it's like, no, they're not, shut up.
I mean, he did do the Nepotism Rocks skit at IFA. True. So he does lean into it. And I think, like, I think of Karan as, like, Bollywood's Truman Capote. Like, he just cannot resist stirring up shit. Mm. But he's also, like, kind of, like, Coffee with Karan is kind of, like, the chronicle of, like, this era of Bollywood showbiz. Like, if you watch it, you get everything you need to know about, like, whatever's happened in Bollywood from 2004 to now. Who's relevant? Who's not? You know? Like, Sushmita Sen came on the first season. Would she be invited on now? Hell no. Isha Deol was on it at one point. She's not coming back. John Abraham's not coming back. Rakhi Sawant was on it at one point. Like, Himesh Reshmiya had an episode. Also, Richard Gere had an episode apropos of nothing, but...
I think he had some MasterCard commercials in India, okay, Sal? Calm down. It's relevant.
So it's like that kind of thing. It's like each season is a time capsule. You see all the tragic and unfortunate fashion choices. You see what people cared about. You see who, you know, like when who everyone wanted to work with at a certain point, you know, like were they sucking up to Sanjay Leela Bhansali? Were they sucking up to Hirani? Were they sucking up to Karan himself? You know? And also like how the power, how the hierarchy works in the industry. Like, he names the same men every season, you know? It's who's the Khan of the hour, or Khan of the season, or whatever. And it's the same set of dudes, but women, it's like roulette, you know? It's like a new set every time. Like, the men stay the same age, but women age out of desirability based, as you can tell from his questions. So it's like a really interesting funhouse reflection of the industry, which is why I enjoy it, and I also think it's terrible.
Yeah, well, that is interesting, like a little time capsule. Like, so now, so what you're saying is, I can watch Coffee with Karan, I can start to go binging on the seasons of Coffee with Karan without guilt, because it's essentially like Bollywood research.
Exactly. Awesome. Exactly.
I'm in. I'm down. Continuing on with the Karan Johar news, I think I used this story to get you to come on the show, like the day after it was announced, and there was this whole Twitter storm about it. Essentially, Karan Johar is returning to direction after Aadil Mushkil from a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago, and his next movie is going to be Takht, which he has deemed, and it's like he doesn't understand marketing, because he has deemed this movie as being Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham in the Mughal era. And I guess the biggest news of this movie is the fact that it's StarCast, really, at this point, right? It's something that I've bitched about last episode, that this is essentially an announcement of the StarCast of this movie, which stars Ranveer Singh, Kareena Kapoor Khan, I have to breathe in between. Alia Bhatt, Vicky Kaushal, Bhumi Patnaikar, Janhvi Kapoor, and Anil Kapoor. that's kind of the big story here, right? Like, this is a Karan Johar produced movie, which is a directed movie, which is a period piece from the Mughal era. And I know that there's all these actors are portraying characters like, you know, Shah Jahan and so on and so on. I don't know. I intentionally did no research on this topic because I'm literally going to hand over the mic to Sal at this point, and I'm just going to go to the bathroom for like 5 minutes or something. Because I literally have nothing. I have no information. I did no research because this news itself is so massive. It's a casting coup, quote unquote. But yeah, I'm lukewarm excited about this. Less so after Karan Johar said it's K2G in the Mughal era.
See, this is where you and I part ways, Shah, because Karan is marketing this film directly to me. Because what more could I want than a K3G set in every era? Give me a Mughal K3G. Give me a, you know, Flapper era Great Gatsby K3G. Give me a caveman Neanderthal K3G. I will watch them all. Literally, like, give them all to me. I will watch literally every single one. I am passionate about this description. And this film's announcement has single-handedly rejuvenated and revivified my interest in Bollywood. I was like kind of flagging there. I'm like, I'm kind of bored. You know, everything has plateaued. But like when he said Takht, I'm like, yes, I'm in. Where can I get my t-shirt? Like, where can I buy my ticket? Can I buy it now?
Just take my money, basically, is your reaction.
Can I book out an entire theater and get married in the theater while the film is playing to the movie?
That's the best visual I've ever heard of in my life. I want to do that. Oh, I'm going to float that by my wife for our vow renewal. Can we just have a movie playing in the background on like a screen while we're doing this?
Yes, that would be amazing. And you could like burst through the screen also. Like,
oh my god, stop it. We're trying to do a destination thing. Stop it. You're making this way too complicated. Although I don't think she'd be down with Pulp Fiction playing in the background while we're doing this.
That would be F could like do the dance, you know? She could wear the wig.
Oh as my long god. As
the heroin overdose like bit in it, I think. Anyway, so stop. Yeah, I'm like really into weddings, which is also why I'm really into Takht, because it's probably gonna have like four different Mughal weddings in it. So
with the same guy though, right? Because I heard that's how they know. Is that
no? So the way this works is the key roles are going to be Kareena's and Vicky's, I believe, because Vicky plays the antagonist. He's gonna play Aurangzeb. And Ranveer plays like sort of the protagonist in a way, but his character is very saintly and good, so it's going to be less interesting. He plays Dara Shikoh, who's defeated by Aurangzeb in like the battle for succession. Mm-hmm. Anil plays the dad, who's fully leaning into hot Silver Fox zaddy energy right now, and I'm into it. And Kareena plays the wise older sister, which is going to be an interesting departure for us because, if I may remind you, Kareena said no to Dil Dhadakne Do because she told Zoya, I want a movie that is just about me. Can we do that movie? And Zoya said, yes, but this film is about a family.
I'm going to refer you to Karan Johar in like a year, in like 2-3 years.
Exactly. So like Kareena's on board. She's willing to do this, which is really interesting given Kareena's choice of films recently, but she's been given a really meaty part. Mm-hmm. And she does not have a love angle. She plays the sister. So this is like a really interesting departure for us. Of course, Karan's blue-eyed girl right now, Alia, is in. But again, does not have the meatiest part in the film. I think she plays one of the love interests, like one of the wives of the brothers, which is not like, you know, on paper, a really fascinating part. This is more akin to the part she played in Kapoor and Sons, you know, where it is an interest part. While Kareena has the really meaty, interesting part, and the boys have the really interesting parts. But it's gonna be kind of massive, you know? It takes me to like the 70s and 80s when you had films that starred everyone in Bollywood, you know, like Mukul Anand used to make them, Manmohan Desai, you know, these people used to stage these massive films.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone in, and they used to be giant and unsubtle and showy, and everyone would be so excited, and they wouldn't be great or perfect, but they would be so much fun. Like, remember Khuda Gawa?
Oh my god. Yes.
So I feel like this moment of like epic filmmaking in Bollywood, I'm into it. It feels like it could be a train wreck, but in a way that all of us are going to enjoy, because all the egos are going to clash, everyone's going to be fighting over turf, and I'm glad that Karan's sort of leading the charge, because who else could, you know? He's the Pied Piper of Bollywood.
I really think you've sort of captured the reason why I go watch a movie on Fridays. Sort of like, what's going to be the thing that's either going to be really amazing or the biggest train wreck? I think that's where my decision making comes down. Coming back to Tuck, honestly, of this cast, the only person I'm really super happy for is Bhumi.
Okay.
Because to me, it's like, yes. Like, this is her sort of massive, commercial, acclaimed filmmaker project. Because, I mean, so far she's done some pretty good movies, but not that sort of quote-unquote, popular sort of commercial film, right? But everyone else, I'm like, this is fine. Like, I'm interested. I'm obviously going to watch this. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't know enough right now for me to get super excited. I love Vicky Kaushal. Mm-hmm. But when you say he's playing the antagonist in a period piece, it's hard for me not to make parallels to like Padmaavat. Whereas I'm like, oh, is this Vicky's Ranveer? Is this Vicky's Alauddin Khilji kind of role? Is this Ranveer's Shahid Kapoor role? Especially when you say that he is defeated by it, he's playing the good, pure, virtuous character. And that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm interested in this, but I think I lost it when he compared it to K3G. So I'm like, K3G is great in its own isolated bubble. Now, I want to ask though, when you're kind of telling me that, the significance of the roles and the characters and how much, how meaty the roles are, you're going based off of the sort of what we know of history about this story, right?
Yeah. And there's been books written about it, but it's also about like what you can make like a film about, right? Like, you can't really make a film about, like, the nice but inconsequential wives,
People got married, they had kids, everything worked out fine.
Exactly.
That's a boring movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'd watch that movie. Like, I want to watch, like, films where nothing happens and everyone eats and hangs out and wears pretty clothes, which is why I will again plug Mujhse Dosti Karoge, which is on Amazon Prime.
Who are you? Why did you come here? Like, what is going on?
but the interesting thing about Tak is the cast, because he picked a Ranveer whom he's made it clear, Karan has made it clear, that in the Ranveer, the great Beer-Veer debate of the 21st century, he is firmly team beer as opposed to team beer.
Okay.
Because there's like a bit that was edited out of Coffee with Karan, where he was interviewing Rohit and Zoya, I believe, or like directors basically, where he says that he basically implies that Veer is not in the same league as beer. So to give Ranveer the biggest film, arguably, of his own career, where he's headlining this,
right, is
putting a massive amount of trust on Veer. So whatever his personal feelings about Ranveer are, he's saying that you're my guy. I'm putting this money on you. And it also shows a massive amount of trust in Vicky, who he's been cultivating, because Vicky was the lead in his section of Lust Stories. And then played, the romantic lead in Razi opposite Alia. So Vicky's paid the dues. Mm. So it also goes to show that Karan will reward you if you keep paying your dues. Because even with Bhumi, he was at Berlin with Bhumi, and Bhumi said, "When are you going to cast me?" And Karan said, "Wait."
You're painting like some... Everything you just said right now, I've basically transplanted all those characters and all the stories that you just mentioned in the first Godfather movie, where you've got Karan Johar sitting in that kursi, and you've got like all these people coming, and you're all like, "Oh, do me a favor." Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you're talking about it from a perspective that has never, I guess, been that sort of clarified for me. That's making sense. Like, Vicky's been put through the paces, and now he's kind of being graduated to, like, what, second lead? Yeah, second supporting real antagonist character. I'm excited for Tuck. I'm going to watch it no matter what. The one thing that I take away from all of Karan Johar's movies is that he finds a way to reinvent relationships. No matter what he does, no matter sort of the premise, Gabriel Vedanakana, you got Kuch Kuch, you've got, you know, whatever his movies are, he finds a way to make relationships and story in stories interesting to the point where I'm like, I'm taking away something new that I didn't take away from his old, you know, his previous film. The same reason I like that movie. A lot of people are kind of, it's kind of divided. There's kind of polarizing opinions on that movie. I loved it because he's giving us, again, a different sort of relationship, a different dynamic with the traditional interaction of a male and a female character interacting together. I just, my only hope for Takht is that I hope he doesn't, the sort of the period and the big budgetness doesn't kind of overshadow that.
Right.
My last question to you has to be, where does Janhvi Kapoor fit into all of this? Is this her putting through the paces until she gets a lead Karan Johar movie?
Yeah, so there's already talk that she might be in Ranbhumi, which is another like highly coveted female part. It's going to be that big female part. So that's the other thing about Karan Johar, right? Like, he's kind of a throwback to like the Raj Kapoor era of Showman, where you hear about this, actors vying for parts in his movies, you know, where you'd hear about Zeenat Aman turning up in costume in Raj Kapoor's office, you know, and things like that. Or like Yash Chopra, like Anil Kapoor turning up with his mustache shaved because he wanted Lamhe so bad. So you get that gossip, you get that buzz that has kind of stopped existing in Bollywood. So that's like really fun. The BTS stuff with Karan films is so much fun. With Janhvi, I think she's being groomed to be a very classical kind of heroine, which we saw even in the way she was presented in Dharak, you know, where she had that dance sequence. And even in this, I think she plays the dancing girl. So I think she's being groomed to be that kind of classical heroine in the mold of, you know, Aishwarya Rai, etc. And because she's also expressed a love for those throwback actresses like Wahida Rahman, etc. So it seems like she's being molded for that, you know. I'm interested to see what he does with her, because she's clearly a Dharma girl, as is Sarah, which is another, that's another interesting thing about the casting. Sarah would have felt like a shoo-in for this movie just based on her lineage and so on, you know, and everyone always talks about how she's great at Urdu, she's got the tehzeeb and all of that, but it's not Sarah who got the part, it's Janhvi who did.
Interesting. Our next story essentially is the first look posters of our favorite, my favorite, I don't know about your favorite, I didn't really ask you beforehand, but Parinithi Chopra has a new movie coming out with Siddharth Malhotra, and the Jabariya Jodi is the movie. I think it was previously titled Shotgun Shadi?
Yes.
Right, and the first look posters, sorry?
Yeah, I was seeing also a term being used to talk about the Nick Priyanka wedding, but we're not going to go there.
We're not talking about that. Also, I think it was recently revealed that the Neha Dupia Angad Bedi wedding might have been a shotgun wedding as well, because she's apparently pregnant now. But we're not talking about any of that, because gossip is not a place on this show. So, even though I think a lot of what we talked about today was gossip as well. But Jabariya Jodi is Prayendra Chopra and Siddharth Malhotra's latest movie. They were last seen together in Hasi Toh Fasi. And the first look, essentially, I feel like the movie's about how they kidnap a groom, which I only know about because that was sort of the headline for these first look posters, which is weird because the first look posters are promoting that the shooting has begun for the movie, which is like, why are you releasing a first look if the shooting has just started? It doesn't make any sense to me. But what did these posters look like to you? How do you feel about Jabariya Jodi at this point, Sal?
So Siddharth and Parinithi together are one of my favorite, like, modern day on-screen couples. I love Hasi Toh Fasi. I've watched it so many times. Like, this is a film that, like, it's sort of iffy portrayal of mental illness notwithstanding is just so much fun for me to watch. Like, that bothers me, but aside from that, they play off of each other really, really well. They're like one of those classic on-screen couples where the energies are so different, but together it's like so fun to watch because he's very chill to the point of comatose. She's like, you know, she's a fireball, she's a pataha, she's on all the time, and she enlivens him and sort of like, you know, messes with his like straight man energy, and he sort of like calms her down, you know, and it's like this really great energy, and I really like them as a couple, and it's rare to get like a couple that the energy feels like not manufactured. Like, I know people are really into Varun and Alia, for instance, but they feel a little more engineered to me, while Sid and Pari feel a little more authentic and like just sort of unvarnished, and I really, really love them together. So just for the sake of like both of them appearing together, and they both need a win right now, I'm excited for Jabariya Jodi. There was a serious film about the issue of groom kidnapping in Bihar that came out several years ago, but sort of disappeared without a trace portrays, but this seems like a more comedic take. But this is apparently a phenomenon in Bihar where they kidnap girls. Okay. Like, this is a full-on business. Like,
interesting.
So they're making, I'm guessing this is kind of like a black comedy slash rom-com about that. So I'm interested to see what they do with it.
So I have a question for you, because I'm looking at Parineeti Chopra's slate of films that are coming out, post her quote-unquote comeback. Mm-hmm. And essentially, my biggest concern is, first of all, I like Parineeti. I like what she put out from her debut. I am a fan. I think she's charming. I think she's likable. I think she's beautiful. I think she's amazing. But clearly, I feel like she doesn't think a lot of those things about herself, which is why she had this whole quote-unquote reinvention phase. But my question now is, I feel like the movie she's doing, which is Jabariya Jodi, and then she has another movie coming out with Arjun Kapoor, which is Namaste London, aren't these the same type of movies she was doing prior to her quote-unquote, you know, physical transformation? And I'm just wondering why? Like, kind of like, what's going on? Like, you're doing the same kind of movies that you did before you thought you had a problem in the industry. Like, I would expect you come back and you do something super gritty. Like, for example, again, comparing her to Aaliyah, like a Highway or like a Razi sort of a thing. She's still doing the same sort of rom-com movies that she did prior to taking a leave of absence from the industry. Which, again, I'm all for. I'm going to watch these movies. I love her as an actress. I want to see her on screen more. And Meri Pyari Bindu notwithstanding, it's like, what are these roles doing that offer you more than what you thought you were doing before?
I mean, I think she wanted to be in the Katrina Kaif, Deepika Padukone space, where she wanted to be a capital H heroine, you know? And she thought she could go away and she'd reinvent, she'd look a certain way. And if you watch Meri Pyari Bindu, it's this very modest rom-com. It's very sort of low-key, but then she gets these heroine shots, you know, hair is flowing, there's like a close-up of her midriff and things like that, completely unnecessary to the character, who's kind of like this fuck up, right? Like, she's this kind of dysfunctional girl. She's not some kind of glamorous pinup, but she's presented that way, and that was her first look for the film. So she wanted to go be that girl and, you know, maybe raise her endorsement price or endorsement fee or whatever. But the thing is, what Parineeti did was bad career management. She had two flops in which her performances were well-reviewed in Dawat-e-Ishq.
Amazing, yeah.
And most other actresses, they worked through flops. Katrina Kaif had Fitur and Barbara Dekho back-to-back, went back to work, cranked out a bunch, you know, she's cranking out her hits. Sonam Kapoor's done it, Deepika Padukone's done, like, her first few years in the movie business were all flops, and she still became number one. So, you know, in the industry, you generally work through flops. Parineeti went off, took some time off, didn't do a lot of work, went and got this image overhaul or this look overhaul, which, you know, honestly, I don't even register it, because I'm like, she was a pretty girl before, she's a pretty girl now. Yeah. And, like, I don't think it's made that much of a difference.
I told this story to my 10-year-old daughter, and I showed her before and after pictures. I mean, she's familiar with Brandy because she's seen the movies pre her, you know, comeback. And she looked at me, she's like, she looks the same. Like, I don't understand. She was amazing and cute and hot and pretty before. She looks amazing, hot and cute and pretty now. I don't understand what the difference is. And I'm kind of like, that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, I think it's taken. I think what happened is she misunderstood what was missing about her. It wasn't the fact that she wasn't already great, because she, you know, just based on raw talent, she would have been ahead of Alia if she'd made the career choices that Alia had made. Of course, Alia has Karan in her corner, but arguably, Pari had Aditya Chopra. But the thing is, Aditya Chopra gives really shitty advice to his proteges and makes them do really shitty things, which is why Vani Kapoor sat at home without work. It's like, what, 2 years, 3 years
poor
after
Vani.
A hit in, like, Should They See Romance, and then got that really ill-advised makeover, and is now sitting at home again waiting for a couple of other films that is just going to reinforce that she's, like, an in-house YRF heroine and doesn't work for anyone else. And Vani said no to Pataha, which is a Vishal Bharadwaj film. And how do you say no to Pataha, like, a Vishal Bharadwaj film?
Oh, my God.
And he said no to Piku. So it's like, you know, it's like the career mismanagement, not like needing to change yourself to meet other requirements, because there was no one like Parineeti when Parineeti was sort of active and working.
Yeah.
And now she's working at the same level, as you pointed out. The scale of her films hasn't gotten larger, except the Golmaal sequel she did and K-Street, but both those films didn't or won't have that much for her to do with. And I'm pretty sure she would have landed those films either way, you know? So it's sort of tragic to see Parniti having gone awry in this big way, but it's also nice that like she's doing something like Jabariya Jori, which feels like in her wheelhouse, that kind of like slightly gritty rom-com that sort of made her famous. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, because I was really underwhelmed by her and Mayor Pyari Bindu. Like, where I was like, where's that Parniti spark? You know, where's that weirdness? Where's that eccentricity? Where's like that strange line delivery where you don't know how she's going to say a line? You don't know how she's going to do it. So I missed that.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you on that. All right, so let's move on to the trailer portion of this show, where we essentially will take a look at the upcoming movie trailers, Bollywood movie trailers of September 2018. The first movie trailer we have is Lala Majnu. The only reason we're going to even talk about this movie is because it's being presented by Imtiaz Ali, one of our favorite directors. I'm going to assume that it's your favorite director too, Sal. One of your faves.
Mixed feelings.
I am wrong.
Love-hate relationship.
So the Lala Majnu trailer is basically the whole movie is newcomers. The movie is releasing, I believe, early September, September 7th. The director is debutant director Sajid Ali. It's like I said, the movie is presented by Imtiaz Ali, which in my opinion is always like, here's a movie that I like, but I don't want to officially put my name on because, you know, it might turn out to be crap. And it's essentially, the only way I can describe to people what Lala Majnu is basically like a modern day or sort of Indian Desi version of Romeo and Juliet. Sal, you saw the trailer for this movie. What are your sort of quick takes on this movie?
Sajid Ali made another film that Imtiaz produced that had an A.R. Rahman score. So I only remember this because it has an A.R. Rahman score, and I'm like a total A.R. Rahman stan. And this movie was terrible and had Ranbir Kapoor's cousin in it, one of the Jain kids, I believe, and like some girl from the Telugu film industry. And it looked really, really shitty. It was like knockoff Imtiaz. It looked like Sochanatha run through, like, you know, like this obnoxious like Instagram filter. It looked so bad. And I've had an aversion and antipathy to Sajid Ali since then, because that film's trailer and all the materials rubbed me so much the wrong way. And like, it made me mad that like his brother landed him A.R. Rahman, because A.R. Rahman, of course, has collaborated with Imtiaz on Highway and Rockstar. And he wasted this gorgeous score on this really obnoxious looking movie. But the thing with Lela Majnu, which seems like kind of like a meta take on the Lela Majnu myth or legend, where it's like set in modern day Kashmir, but sort of the characters sort of become Lela Majnu, you know, which is something they've done with, you know, Shakespeare and Hollywood, right? Yeah. Where I think Pacino did something similar with one of the Henry movies or Richard.
Yeah.
So it's something like that with two newcomers, Avinash Tiwari and Tripti Dimri. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to resist this movie because I was like, I hated everything I saw of your first movie. But this movie has one of the best original soundtracks in recent years. So I am, despite myself, completely hooked. Like, seriously, y'all, if you have not listened to the Lela Majnu OST, go do it right now. You will thank me. It is fantastic. It's like by some new guys, I believe, who haven't done a lot of film work, Niladri Kumar and Joy Barua.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good. It is so good, like tears to your eyes good, like listening to like the Tal soundtrack for the first time good, like so good. And of course, newcomers, not related to anyone. So if you're like one of those people who like type Nepo Kids in all caps on Twitter,
boycott
about that, and like, you know, like boycotted Dharak or whatever, this would be a cool film to support, even though I will point out that Imtiaz is producing his brother's film, so it's still kind of like nepotism or whatever. I don't know.
No, it's that, I think, is the definition. So I gotta do another quick sidebar.
Yeah.
Okay. And if anyone, even if you were at all modest about your sort of Bollywood knowledge or your film knowledge, I gotta tell you that the fact that you brought up Sajid Ali did another movie, some Telugu movie with some next cast and blah 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 blah, you have surpassed IMDb. Because that shit is not on IMDb. So, Sal, you have surpassed any sort of, you know, repository of information about Bollywood that we can find online. Because I bitch about this all the time, that Bollywood does not have enough information available online. Somehow, you found access, or are the access. So I bow down to you at this point. This besides the soundtrack, which you keep telling me, well, I've heard you kind of advocate online, there's nothing about this movie that I want to watch. It really does seem like a sort of modern-day adaptation of the Leela Majnun story. Beyond that, I mean, the only here... I'll just read you my notes at this point. Like, there's really nothing else for me to say but in bullet form. Too much screaming. Way too much screaming. I think it's... I have a problem with crazy being portrayed on screen as just screaming, which this guy does way too much. The girl reminds me of Danielle Panabaker from The Flash. I don't know if you... A little bit. There's some frames, some angles where she reminds me of Danielle. The performances seem pretty good. Too early to tell. But again, the too much yelling is really my only takeaway. Like, he just yells a lot in this movie, which I'm like, I get you're crazy, bro. You don't have to scream to kind of portray that. I haven't seen this. I haven't heard the soundtrack, but I definitely will at this point. So
I agree with everything you've said. But also, I want to make a correction. So... the last one, Lekar Hum Deewana Dil. This was Kareena's cousin, Saif's cousin-in-law, who was in that film with the Air Rahman soundtrack, was a different Imtiaz Ali brother. And this is a different Imtiaz Ali brother. So he just has brothers he's making, producing films for at this point. So get off Karan Johar, y'all. Imtiaz Ali should be the target of your nepotism-related ire.
Yeah, but for him, it's, Karan Johar is probably like nepotism goals, right?
But yeah, so the film I was talking about is called Lekar Hum Deewana Dil and looked terrible, but really cute A.R. Rahman soundtrack. This one, also really cute soundtrack, which Imtiaz Ali, you know, Imtiaz Ali joints usually have great music. Agree with you about the film, kind of iffy, but also I'm like interested. Films set in Kashmir are always interesting to me. It's also like, I always find it interesting the way they portray like Muslims on screen, like especially outside of a context of like terrorism or Muslim victims or things like that. So that's always like intriguing to me. So I'm interested to see what they do with it. At the same time, not holding my breath for it to be great, but hope they don't waste a fantastic soundtrack.
Our next movie that we're talking about in that recent September 2018 is Pultan, which... I can't even fake excitement for this movie. This is a J.P. Dutta joint. And for anyone that knows J.P. Dutta, he is basically... He just said war. That's my shtick. And I will make movies about war. He's a director behind movies like LOC, Border, Refugee, so on and so on and so forth. Pultan looks to me... Sal, I have a strong feeling you're going to agree with everything I'm saying. Lily, one of my notes for this trailer just says, ugh. That's it. There's no sort of elaboration on that. This movie stars Arjun Rampal, Sonu Sood, and a bunch of other people. I really don't give a shit about this movie whatsoever. You saw the trailer for this. How did you feel about this movie, Sal?
I mean, okay, so J.P. Dutta has not made anything interesting to me ever since, like, you know, the dupatta fell off, you know, flew off young Kareena's face in the first look of Refugee, which is when I fell in love with her, and I still love her. But this film, like, LOC, if y'all remember, was literally 7 million stars who had 1 minute of footage each, like, marching to Anu Malik songs.
Yep.
So this looks like more of that, and also like his films are fairly shorn of nuance. He used to make like kind of interesting films back in the 80s. I want to say there was like one with Sunny Deol and you know, it was, I don't know what it was called, but he used to make these very large canvas films back in the 80s. And then he got into the war thing with Border, which was a huge hit, you know, the surprise hit. So he decided to go into it. Like, he was like, this is my shtick. As you said,
This is what it's good for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he made a slight detour when he did the Umrajan adaptation, which flopped, and then sat at home for a really long time, tried to make a bunch of stuff, get off the ground.
12 years.
And then this film is also famous for Abhishek Bachchan walking out of it after it had begun shooting, which now looks like a smart decision.
Bravo. Bravo. Yeah, I don't... I mean, this is really hard to like. So I'm again, like I said, when I do research into this stuff, I look directly into sort of the background and what these movies were, what the story was based on. And with Boltan, I'm not kidding you. The terminology used for this sort of war was quote unquote clash. Mm-hmm. There were clashes between the Chinese and the Indian army. The victory that the narration of the trailer so biasly portrays was a decisive tactical advantage. Some of the incidents are referred to as quote-unquote arguments. Like, this is literally J.P. Dutta watching the Salman Khan movie Tube Light and going, that's a war I haven't covered. Let me look into this war. And then he took the most minute, mundane aspect of that war and goes, I'm going to make a 2.5-hour movie about this. And I'm going to put stars in this movie whose careers are fledgling, so I won't have to pay as much. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this movie? Like, this is like, this looks like a companion documentary episode to, like, Border or LOC. Honestly, like, years later.
Wait, is Sunil Shetty in this?
Are you being snide, or are you legitimately asking?
You want to know. Because no, Sunil Shetty is in every one of his movies.
Sunil Shetty's not in this, Sunil is not in this.
I'm so sad.
All right. We're going to move on.
Am I the only person who cares about Sunil Shetty's career?
Listen, he needs... joy. He's one of those... He's so hipster around now. I don't know if you've seen, like...
Yeah, he's hot daddy. But remember Jhanjhariya? Come on. Jhanjhariya.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
I have a lot of 90s nostalgia.
I think I'm all 90s right now at this point. Now, one movie I'm looking forward to, like, with sort of an intensity, and which I will sort of advocate, is the Anurag Kashyap-directed Man Marzia.
Yes! Oh my god! Or as I like to call it, Pank Hum Dil De Chuke Sanam.
Yes! Okay, so, I am an Abhishek Bachchan fanboy. So, you know, confession time at this point. Like, I am an Abhishek Bachchan fan.
It's just you and Aradhya.
Yeah, yeah. I follow his career my entire life. I've seen every single movie that he's ever done. I defend him. I will defend him to the max. I've never gotten the opportunity because, you know, he doesn't make many movies. But this is my time, right? My favorite director, one of my favorite actors together again with Tapsee Pannu, and Vicky Kaushal is kind of just there as well, which... is great, but I'm like, Abhishek, that's what this movie's about. Man Marzia is essentially, like you said, a love triangle. It does seem to be, yes, very sort of punk on the Lichikis at him. The soundtrack for this movie is amazing. I watched the trailer when it came out, and then they did this whole sort of, you know, waking up every morning with a new Man Marzia song. I listened to the entire album. I listened to it on repeat for hours on end every single day. And then I rewatched the trailer for this show, and I caught myself sort of getting super emotional with the songs in context of the scenes. And I was just like, this is it, right? This is the movie. This is the movie that's going to wreck me no matter what happens, no matter who ends up with whom. I'm fully sort of advocating for Tapsee Pannu and Abhishek Bachchan. But... you know, this is the movie that I'm probably the most looking forward to this month, if not this year.
Yeah, I am so excited for Man Marzia. Anurag Kashyap is a director whom I have, like, this really strange love-hate relationship with. As a craftsman, he is next level. The stories he chooses to tell, you know, I'm more mixed on. So what he does is he takes this really pulpy material, right? Like the railway, you know, railway station novels that you get. He takes that material, like pulp fiction, and makes these really interesting, technically interesting cinematic cues. That's what he does. So, sometimes his films can seem like really bratty, but at the same time, he's clearly a talent. And Man Marzia, it feels like, especially because he's making this for Anand L. Rai, this is a screenplay that existed. Two other directors attempted to make this movie. The cast has gone through a couple of iterations. Mohit Pednekar was supposed to be in this with Ayushman Khurana. And You know, the guy who directed Love Shabte Chicken Khurana was the original director. Then Ashwini Iyer Tiwari came in and, you know, gave the screenplay a pass. And, you know, she tried to make it work, but that didn't happen. And now Abhishek, Tapsee and Vicky are in this. And Anurag Kashyap, who's so different from those directors. I think Sameer Sharma, I think, might be the director for Love Shabte. I can't remember the name. And Ashwini. So different. Like, the last movie he made this year was Mukabaz, again for Color Yellow Productions. Then he made Sacred Games. Again, like, these are very different things from Manmarsya, which is basically, like, I don't know, like, this could be a Yash Chopra screenplay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels very throwback to that kind of, like, relationship drama, you know, like, people sort of just being in love and figuring that shit out. It could be, it feels very, like, in the mold of Chandni or whatever, but through Anurag Kashyap's very specific, very idiosyncratic, very punk sensibility. So I love it. The OST is epic. Like, it feels like, also, Amit and Anurag gave us the Dave D OST, which is one of the greatest OSTs ever. So for, and you're right, there's been like, what, 20 songs at this point? There's like a new song every day. They're amazing. My personal favorite is Grewala Shade. I love it.
Oh my god, yeah.
And which is, I mean, it's so funny, but at the same time, so good.
Well, I mean, I gotta say too, like, I'm not, like, just to kind of put it out there, I'm the kind of guy that kind of relates and enjoys more of the sort of Milegi Milegi song from Stree. Like, the crazy blockbuster club numbers. Because I listen to songs to hype me up. Right? So, those are songs that I prefer. You know, basically what I call songs my wife hates. so those are the songs that I love. There has to be a exceptional, slow, tragic love story song that gets my attention and that I want to listen to over and over again during my normal day at the risk of putting me to sleep. The soundtrack for Manmarsya, majority of it is those songs. Majority of it is like these sort of catchy, upbeat, but ultimately tragic, sort of moving, what I call quote unquote nice songs. And I love them. And if those songs can hook me, like, you tell me what the next, you know, the biggest romantic hit is right now, the next Atif Atap song is, I don't give a shit. Let me hear the next Badshah song or the Mika song, Mika Singh song. But this soundtrack is amazing. Like, I'm listening to every song on repeat. You know, I'm telling my wife to listen to all these songs, and she's like, can you calm down? So, yeah, I love these songs. And for me, a soundtrack is always more effective when you watch the movie in context to those songs, and that makes you love the songs even more. So the fact that I watched the trailer and was like, oh, this is a fine movie, and I listened to the soundtrack obsessively for, like, a week, and then watched the trailer again, and I almost teared up. Like, this movie's going to destroy me, is what I'm basically forecasting at this point.
Yeah, I also want to add that, like, Abhishek is someone I am really, really hard on. If, you know, if anyone follows me on Twitter, he's someone I make fun of endlessly. But I said that he was fully the best thing about this trailer, and I got mocked for that. People were like, did you watch the same trailer we watched? And I was like, yes. He's, like, giving me Nasiruddin Shah in Wo Saab Din, know? He's giving me that terav of, like, Farooq Sheikh. I love it, you know? Like, I'm really into Abhishek, and he's cleaned up. He's looking good, you know? I don't know if, like, Aishwarya has him on some, like, moong dal diet or something like that. He's looking good.
What is this?
Like, you know, I'm into it. I'm on board the Abhishek train. I'm ready for him to, like, reclaim my affections, because I was such an Abhishek, like, fangirl back in the day. I still think that he and Bunty are bubbly. Like, that performance is up there with anything, like, Ranbir Kapoor's done, you know? So,
yes. Yeah. Okay, so, I might edit all of this out, but I have to get on the soapbox for Abhishek Bachchan. Because, number one, when he made his debut, he's that sort of outlier for me when it comes to the nepotism debate. Because he's an actor that improved the more opportunities he got. Yes, when he debuted, he was a piece of shit. Again, the headlines were that he's ruining the legacy of Amitabh Bachchan. And I completely agreed with that. I don't think it was until Yuva, which was 2004, where Maniratnam, he put in this performance where you're like, is this the same kid? Is this the same guy? And then 2005, and I keep bringing this up for all the people that are like, Aishwarya married down. Like, she traded down with Abhishek. And I'm like, I'm sorry, no. Because 2005, Abhishek Bachchan had the most hits that Aishwarya Rai's had in her career. I'm sorry to say, like, this is a fact. Like, he's made guest appearances in 2005. He was in Home Delivery. He was in, you know, he made a guest appearance in Salaam Namaste. He made a guest appearance in Home Delivery. He made a guest appearance in Neil and Nikki. Like, just cameos. And those movies were successful. He made a cameo in an Amitabh Bachchan movie, in an Ekaj movie. And those movies were sort of semi-critically or commercially successful. He had Bunch Your Bubbly, like you mentioned, which was 2005. He had Sarkar in 2005. He had Doom in 2004. He had probably the first male item number in 2004 with Rakht, which was the One Love song.
Yes, God, Blue!
Yes! So he had an amazing sort of 3 years in which he had more commercial hits than Aishwarya Rai had in her career. And I, again, look this up because I will debate this. So he's one of those actors who did improve. Nepotism, sure. Yes, for sure. However, he's also one of those guys that doesn't need to make movies. Right, like he chooses movies. He doesn't give a shit. Seemingly, he doesn't seem to care about his sort of status quo as an actor. He doesn't seem to be diplomatic. He doesn't seem to be suave when it comes to managing his career. He does movies because he feels like he wants to do a movie. And Manmarzia, and the fact that you have a guy like Anurag Kashyap. If you love Anurag Kashyap, you have a guy like Anurag Kashyap that looks at Abhishek Bachchan and goes, "That's the guy I want for this role." And I'm like, "Yes, of course you do." You know, it kind of validates everything I've been saying for the past 13 years about Abhishek Bachchan. Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely excited. But I will also point out that Anurag Kashyap did cast John Abraham in a movie. So he's completely chill with working with actors for, like, not the next,
you
know.
That was also a good movie. Calm down, okay? Listen.
No, I think No Smoking is great.
Yes.
But this is another debate we were having where it's like directors are not always looking for the next Nawazuddin Siddiqui. They want someone who has a certain look and a certain vibe. And they know that they can cut around the bad parts of a performance and make a performance happen, you know?
Fair enough. Our next movie is actually one that you referenced already on this show, Sal. It is a Vishal Bhardwaj project, a directorial sort of a movie, starring actresses we have no idea who they are, but the trailer looks ridiculous, and it's a trailer that reminds me of like a Robert Rodriguez movie with the title cards, but also has mad Matruki Bijliki Mandola vibes. Pataka releases 28th on September, directed by Vishal Bhardwaj. The movie stars Sanya Malhotra and Radhika Madan as two feuding sisters who hate each other and beat the crap out of each other. Yep. And essentially their story of trying to get away from each other and how it kind of brings them on the same path of life and kind of that sort of same journey. So Pataka, Sal, how did you like this trailer?
So if there's anyone I stan, it's Vishal Bhardwaj. I'm obsessed with Vishal. I loved Matru. I'm like the one person. I went with someone who wanted to watch Django Unchained, and I was like, nope, watching Matru, which is playing next door.
Yeah.
So love it. Love the pink cow in it. Love yes. Rangoon. You know, so I am such a Vishal stan. And this, the trailer for this film was really well reviewed on Bolly Cinephile Twitter, where they went nuts for it. They were like, this is great. Sanya Malhotra is from Dangal. Yeah. You know, she's considered the more talented of the two girls who played sisters on that. But, you know, Fatma Sana Sheikh has had the big career.
Sure.
And then, you know, the film has been in the news because there's been a few different casting combinations, you know, for these times. Vani was supposed to be in it. I think at one
point, Parinithi, Bhumi, Sonakshi, Shraddha were all considered for the role of, I think, Radhika Madan's role.
Mm-hmm. So it's been like there's been a few iterations of the cast that we've heard about. So it pains me to say this, but I don't love the trailer. It really hurts, but I didn't.
And we're done. Okay.
I hate saying this because I think it's because I feel like I saw an entire film in the trailer, which I never love. I feel like the trailer is like leaning too hard on quirky, which is, you know, Vishal's not that. Like, he's got the quirks, he's got the lived in small town vibe in all his films. Like, he gives you a very specifically evoked milieu. But with this one, it's like, look at how weird they are. Look at how they're fighting in the mud. Look at how these girls swear. So I don't know. I didn't love it. It also feels like kind of like a teleplay that would have been on Doordarshan in the 90s. Like, I don't know if it needed to be a feature film. But if this is what Vishal needs to do, kind of like play around, make a small like micro budget film that like, you know, lets him play in his like quasi, you know, Robert Rodriguez, Tarantino, Guy Ritchie E space, but take that to a rural space, I'm all for it. Like, get, you know, exercise those and then go make that like big 12th night adaptation that you've been talking about. So yeah, that's how I feel about it. I didn't love it, and I hate saying this because, you know, it's a Vishal film. He's doing the music, Gulzar's writing the lyrics. It's probably gonna be better than most other directors' best films. But still, like, you know, at this point, you know, after Rangoon, you know, after Heather, which I consider like one of the greatest Hindi films I've ever watched, I maybe wanted something more, but he needs to do his like little throwaway, like micro budget film too. You know, he needs to chill. Like, he needs to go, you know, I don't know, eat Haryanvi food or whatever. So I'm in support of this, even though I'm not crazy about it.
First of all, how dare you, madame? How dare you not enjoy the shit out of this trailer? So, okay. All valid points. I don't entirely disagree with you.
Uh-huh.
However, and I can't source this either, but I did read a report while doing research for the show that Sanya Malhotra, there was this some, again, and this is what I hate about sort of Bollywood media, is that they have like throwaway references in journalism, which is like, I'm sorry, go back to that and expand on that a little bit, but no one does. There was a report that said Sanya Malhotra was playing an actress who portrays sort of like, there's a time jump in the movie, apparently, where at the second half of the movie, she plays a mother to a child, like sort of an older mother to a child. Mm. I watched the trailer, and the trailer doesn't imply any of that, because the trailer ends with the two sisters getting married to what looks like brothers.
Mm-hmm. So we probably got the first half of the movie.
Yes.
The entire other half.
Exactly. So and this is in reference to you saying that fact that, you know, you feel like you watched the whole movie in the trailer. That I do feel like there's another part of this movie that is not in the trailers at all. I feel like the first half of the movie is in the trailers. I feel like the hook is in the trailers. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a totally different story in this movie that we're not privy to right now. Mm. Just based on that throwaway line of reporting. I'm sorry, my cat is everywhere.
He's the cutest.
Yeah, he's one of two. But yeah, so I mean, my takeaway is this. Vishal Bharadwaj seems to be doing this, especially with Matru Ki Bijli Kamandola. This is another Sonu Ki Titu situation here. So I guess my reaction to this movie and what it's doing with Bollywood and this concept of like the village sort of story is back in the early days of Bollywood, we had sort of the setting of the village situation as pure, as innocent, as the sort of blank canvas that we should all be aspiring to from the city. You know, this is where life is. Lagan, for example. You know, movies like that, essentially. Mother India, so on and so on. Whereas I feel like Vishal Bharadwaj is subverting those tropes, and he's showing his characters in villages from a village setting that are terrible. Every character, you know, kind of has their own agenda and motivation. There's a scene in that trailer where the father's trying to explain to his daughters that, you know, smoking is bad. Smoking gives you cancer and you could die. And the daughter's like, but dad, you've been smoking forever and you're fine. And he gets so pissed off at that he like chases them around and wants to like beat them up. And I think, I love that. I love that Vishal Bharadwaj is doing these movies about the village life. That the rural sort of India that isn't perfect, that isn't pure and innocent and naive, and you know, I'm in the bag for this movie. I will totally watch this.
Yeah, I mean, Vishal could direct like, I don't know, like a shampoo commercial, and I would rather watch that than like an Oscar-nominated film.
And also, I gotta say, Vishal Bharadwaj is the only other director besides Ram Gopal Varma. Yeah, I said it. I like Ram Gopal Varma, who kind of has this trend of revitalizing careers. Saif Ali Khan before Omkara wasn't really doing that well. Saif Ali Khan post Omkara is like, you know, again, not doing that well.
Total image shift for Saif, right? He was the rom-com metro hero.
Right.
Then he did Omkara, and then we were like, this might be the greatest actor of our generation.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, and then of course he like squandered some of that goodwill.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you know, with Seth, Vishal was right.
Yeah.
Like, watch Sacred Games, or I watch even Rangoon.
Yes.
And the guy has the chops.
That's right. And I mean, even you've got the guy we've been talking about for a lot of this episode, Shahid Kapoor. Mm-hmm. Like, Shahid Kapoor didn't become a serious actor until Kamine, where people are like, oh, he can do this? Oh, he can. He cannot be the chocolate sort of romantic hero guy? Oh, cool.
Absolutely.
So, Vishal Bhardwaj has my goodwill until the day he, like, does something totally inappropriate, which mm-hmm. I'll probably still watch.
But yeah, totally. So even though I have mixed feelings about the trailer, I'm on board. He's like one of those directors who
and
could,
I love,
like,
the fact that he doesn't rely on star power. Mm-hmm. Like, this movie, like, you don't know any other people in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, Sunila Grover's in this movie? What the hell? What? He's probably the only recognizable face besides Vijay Raz in this movie? Like, shut the hell up. Like, and this is a movie that a mainstream director is doing who's worked with the likes of, like, you know, Saif Ali Khan and Ajay Devgan and so on and so on. Really? That's crazy talk to me. The fact that a director can do that is crazy talk to me.
Also, the continued championing of Vijay Raz, I'm all here for. One of the great character actors of our time.
Yes. Our next movie is a more commercial affair. We're talking about Sui Dhaga, which is a YRF Yash Raj Films movie starring Varun Dhawan and Anushka Sharma. And this movie, I think, is the movie for this month, right? This is the commercial blockbuster for this month, which improves upon the social messages portrayed in Batti Gul Meter Chalu, improves upon the sort of clean commercial blockbuster movie that you want to see with blockbuster stars doing things that aren't what they're known for. I love the trailer for this movie. Sal, what was your reaction to Sui Dhaga?
Okay, so Sui Dhaga was on my list as, like, the film that I was most excited about for 2018. Anushka Sharma, Sharad Kataria made one of my favorite films in recent years. Dam Laga Ke Haisha is near flawless. Like, this is a movie you watch every time and it improves upon each rewatch. Yeah. And then you've got Varun Dhawan with Anushka Sharma, a pair we haven't seen before. Varun, you know, like, he hasn't done anything super challenging since Badlapur October. He did, but then, you know, there was some conversation around whether it was a good fit for him, etc. So I was really excited about this. The trailer is solid, and YRF usually cuts a, you know, solid trailer. My qualm with the film is that it feels more like, and this is something someone else said to me on Twitter, it feels more like a Manish Sharma film than a Sharad Kataria film, like where it's a little sunnier and glossier and a little more rah-rah than, like, Dam Laga Ke Haisha was, which was, you know, kind of a study of failure. And this film goes there a little bit. You know, the guy is sort of, he's this stooge, right? He's a paid stooge for, you know, these business owners, and then branches off on his own. But at the same time, the film's tone is a little more Disney and a little less, like, indie, which maybe because, you know, of the impetus that, you know, if you're casting these two huge stars, you want it to be a little more saleable or whatever. So I don't know if the trailer looks exactly as I'd envisioned it in my head, but they're doing some really cool stuff with promoting it, with, like, the handcrafts and all of that. I don't know if you've seen that, you know, where they're, you know, doing the things with all
the
crafts.
There's multiple sort of, like, posters and title cards of the movie, in different sort of Indian sort of tailoring, stitching, cultural reflections.
But also Anushka Sharma, I have so much goodwill for. I love. I feel like she's one of those actors who's kind of a character actor despite being a star. The things she's doing with this role are so anti-star vanity.
Yeah.
You know, the ugly cry and, like, the weird way she's holding.
Okay, come on.
like the little things, the socks she's wearing, the way she holds the pallu over her head. I totally have chachis and mamis like that from the Gao, you know, like the ground. Like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, cry like that. They stand in the corner and cry like that, and their nose goes red, and they hold the pallu, like, they hold it tightly over their heads, and the sweater, you know, over the sari, and all these weird little...
I cannot believe I'm having a conversation on my podcast about chachis from the Gram. Okay, I have chachis from the Gram who do exactly this. Not cool, Sal. This is what happens when you get a Bangladeshi on the show. I this is where I gotta compare Sui Dhaga to Batti Gul Meter Chalu, right? Where you've got mainstream actors, mainstream commercial sort of actors portraying roles that are supposed to be from regional places of India. Mm-hmm. And I look at Batti Gul Meter Chalu, and I look at Shahid Kapoor, and I look at Shraddha Kapoor, no relation. And And it just, it doesn't make sense, because you're looking like an Instagram model. You're wearing the clothes that I expect for someone from Delhi or Mumbai to be wearing, but you're supposed to be from, like, this sort of regional state in India. And it doesn't, it's not meshing for me, because I don't think that's how people from there look like or talk like, which, again, you confirm based on the YouTube comments. Apparently, people don't talk like that. I'm looking at Sui Dhaga, and I'm looking at Varun Dhawan, who's, again, a commercial mainstream actor. I'm looking at Anushka Sharma, who's a commercial mainstream actress. And they're in roles that aren't flattering. They don't look like, you know, Varun Dhawan has a mustache and he looks like he's from the 90s and it doesn't look flattering. He looks very much like Anil Kapoor, by the way. Totally different story. But he makes it work, right? Like, I'm believing that this is a guy who doesn't, first of all, and I love the costuming of this, because the Movie Wala podcast has made me, has gotten me to pay attention to the costumes. So I'm looking at the costumes of Sui Dhaga and I'm like, Varun Dhawan, who's supposed to be this, you know, fit, muscle-bound hunk, does not look anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the costuming is very subtle. He's wearing khakis that are three times too big for him. He's wearing sweater vests that are three times too big for him. And he looks believable as a guy who's, you know, lower middle class, sort of chaprasi sort of character, who's being humiliated by his boss. And he's okay with it because that's his station in life. And it's not until his wife comes along, who's, again, this sort of very demure, sort of, you know, mild-spoken person, who tells him that, I'm embarrassed for you. You know, and she's crying. Listen, people are not supposed to look good crying. I don't look good crying. If you're looking good while crying, you need to get the hell out of movies, because you're not supposed to look good crying. That doesn't make sense to me. Okay? Because a character crying is supposed to look vulnerable and horrible. You're not supposed to look good crying. I don't understand this debate of Anushka Sharma looks bad crying. Yes, that's the point. If she looks bad crying, she's doing her job. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the milieu, right? Like, in a Sanjay Leela Bhansali movie, you expect everyone to look beautiful crying.
Sure.
In a Sharif Kataria movie that's set in small town India, where she's playing, like, your, you know, neighborhood bhabhi, she's not going to cry gracefully like a beauty queen.
She's in weird polka-dotted saris, which look like, you know, cotton, simple, like... She's not like, supposed to look beautiful in every frame. She's wearing no eye makeup. Like, majority of the normal scenes, she's got no makeup on. You know, like, again, Varun Dhawan has a mustache, which makes him look terrible. But I believe it in this role. I believe him to be this guy who wants to be more than what he is. And I believe her as being this woman who wants her husband to be more than he is. And you know, this movie to me looks, their dynamic to me looks like that whole, you know, behind every great man, there's a great woman. That's what this looks like to me. And I'm loving every second of it. And I'm getting annoyed at the fact that, oh, well, she's crying weird. Shut up.
I mean, let's just say this. The film's trailer had such an impact that Nick Jonas was totally cosplaying as Varun Dhawan's character at his engagement party. So, I mean, clearly the trailer has worked.
That's terrible. I think, I honestly think that, like, Manmirzi and I think Sui Dhaga to me is, like, I love the fact that someone like Varun Dhawan, I love that he can do something this rural. Because for me, Ayushman Khurrana is the guy who does this kind of stuff. You know, like, or Rajkumar Rao even. So for me to see Varun Dhawan in a role like this is like ridiculous, and not just in a role like this, to be believable in a role like this is pretty impressive.
I agree. I think Varun, I'm a little less bullish on his acting than you are, but I really, really like the choices he makes in terms of his career. He's someone who's willing to push himself and make himself vulnerable in a movie, like expose his limitations so he'll learn something. You know, which is to me what Badlapur was. That was a huge risk for a heartthrob, right? Like, this is a new age
pin-up. I think second or third movie into his career.
Yeah, it was like one of his earliest films. And that was a dark character. By the end of the film, you're empathizing with the killer.
Yes.
And it's gone completely dark. And it's such a compelling performance, too, because he's up against not just Nawazuddin Siddiqui, but Radhika Apte. He's up against, you know, Seema Pahwa. He's up against this whole roster of character actors, you know, and he's good. He holds up his end of the bargain. So again, I can be a little mixed on him, like on his delivery and things like that, but on his career and the way he's navigating that, really, really excited for him.
The last movie of our discussion today about the movies, Bollywood movies released in September 2018, is a sort of late entry to this conversation. We're talking about Love, Sonia, which is a movie, I gotta say, the trailer just dropped very last minute. It has a massive all-star cast that stars Frida Pinto, Manoj Bajpayee, Richard Chadha, Anupam Kher, Adil Hussain, Rajkumar Rao, as well as Demi Moore and Mark Duplass from Hollywood. It is a movie that the lead character is debutant Mrunal Thakur. I don't want to... I'm probably not saying that name right, but this is a movie that the trailer just dropped, and I am probably not going to watch this movie for reasons I will expand upon later. But Sal, I made you watch this movie 5 minutes before we started the show. This trailer. What did you think about Love, Sonia?
So I'd also watched a rough cut for this trailer, for this film, like a while back. This film clearly seems made to address this issue, right? That's why the Hollywood actors got involved. Yeah. That's why Frida got involved. That's why all these actors who are probably playing fairly truncated parts got involved, because it was sold to them as an awareness raising film. I don't know much about who's making the film. I want to say it's produced by Tabrez Noorani is the name I remember from the trailer. And the actress Mrunal Thakur is from TV and is also Hrithik Roshan's female lead in Super 30.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I don't know how to feel about this because I don't know much about it, but it seems like one of those international cause issue film collaborations. So I don't know if it's meant to be consumed as popular entertainment or if it's meant as, you know, this film is about the issues. So I don't know what grounds to sort of judge this on and sort of receive this on.
Yeah.
But I'm glad someone's making a film about this issue. It was sort of human trafficking and sex trafficking was addressed in Mardani recently.
Right.
But that was a little more, popcorn-y.
Lighthearted, yeah. Not lighthearted, but like diet sort of.
Yeah, it was like a little more, it was like Lady Singham, but at the same time, even just a little bit we got in that film of like the sex trafficking racket was really, really gruesome and really, really triggering.
And this seems, a lot more graphic than that. Oh. I mean, essentially, this is a story about a sister whose other sister gets sold into sex trafficking, and Sonia is a character that Mrunal Thakur is playing, who has to essentially go in search of her sister and release, or try to save her from the sex trafficking ring. And along the way, she meets, a variety of characters and a variety of actors portraying those characters, and basically her journey to try to save her sister. Tabrez Noorani, you're right, is the director of this movie. He's been the producer of movies that feature Indian stories in the Hollywood sort of. For example, he's been the producer of movies like Viceroy's House, Sense8, Line, 100 Foot Journey, Million Dollar Arm, Life of Pi, Eat, Pray, Love, Bride and Prejudice. And all these movies that essentially tell the Indian story, but for crossover audiences or international audiences. The reason why I said I won't watch this movie, like I said, this movie stars so many people, like Manoj Bajpayee, Rajkumar Rao. All these characters, by the way, all these actors, these massive actors, seem to be playing really horrible characters in this movie, based on the trailer. The reason why I'm saying I won't watch this movie, I will watch this movie, but it will take me a lot to watch this movie, because it just seems like a horrible journey. It seems like situations that I will cringe at watching, because it's this girl trying to navigate the sex trafficking world to find her sister and save her from it. So it's a hard-hitting subject matter, and it's one of those movies that, I mean, and I don't want to be those guys that, I have a daughter now, so blah, 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 blah. But it's once, I do have daughters, so watching this movie where an underage girl is sold into the sex trafficking, human trafficking world is really hard for me to watch, because I watch movies from the perspective of, what if this was me? What if this happened to me? And it's hard for me to watch movies like that with that subject matter, having young girls myself. So I will eventually watch this, but just not right away. I'm not chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies that one would have to prep themselves into, sort of going in and watching, like sort of emotionally prepare themselves. But again, really glad that they're making the film. It's an issue that needs awareness. I'd be interested to know like what they expect us to do with that awareness, like how we can get involved in sort of, making this go away. I don't know.
Well, I think the more awareness, the better at this point.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And clearly there's something worthy about the film for such a storied cast to get involved. So we have Mark Duplass, to Richard Chadha, we have Frida Pinto, who doesn't really work as often anymore, tries to do more advocacy, ambassadorship, stuff like that. We have, Rajkumar Rao, Manoj Bajpayee, Anupam Kher. Mm-hmm. This is a who's who of, the indie film movement India and in Bollywood. And then you have, you know, Mark Duplass and Demi Moore in there as well. So clearly the producer has maximized his Hollywood sort of goodwill and cred to make this film. And it's a passion project for him. So I'm interested to see what they've done with the subject and if it's meant to be kind of purely awareness raising or if they're trying to, like, you know,
tell a story.
For it to have, like, artistic merit on its own. I don't know.
Perfect.
But I'm curious.
All right. Well, so thank you so much for coming on today. This was an in-depth episode. I enjoyed the crap out of this. Omran, thank you so much for coming and sharing your expertise with us. I really appreciate it. Why don't you let people know what it is that you're up to these days? I know you have a Tumblr recently, and where they can get a hold of you, where they can kind of pick your brain about everything film Bollywood related.
Yes. Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. First of all, this was one of the most fun times I've had in, like, recent times. It was so, so great. And I can't wait to do it again if you'll ever have me back, even though I talked over you like 700 times.
That's literally the premise of the show. That's what I do.
So I'm on Twitter at Sal and the Bad Pun. Find me there. My takes are nonsensical. I defend Shandar. So, like, lots of bad takes like that. So if you enjoy, like, sus takes on Bollywood and pop culture and me talking about how much I'm obsessed with, 20-year-old leads off of Netflix rom-coms, you should find me there. I also write for Bolly Brit. I've been doing their Star of the Week feature, and I write, like, in-depth pieces. So the editor there lets me write 3,000 words on Adil Hai Mushkil and how Sabah Talia Khan is, like, revolutionary, etc. So if you want to read those, you can find me on Bolly Brit. I also write for the Star Weekend magazine in Bangladesh. I have my Bollywood Tumblr, which is Bolly Churia, so bollychudian.tumblr.com. And I have, like, my insane curious cat, so if you want to find that, you can, but it is a cluster blank if you ever want to come there and talk to me. But yeah, I'm easy to find, and I love to talk to people about Bollywood, so come and talk to me about Bollywood, pop culture, anything. If you want advice on how to deal with food babies, real babies, I will give you bad advice, but I will give it to you.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to show up on the Spiskin podcast. I really appreciate it. Like I said, legit celebrity. If you guys like this episode and you want to hear more of this, and you want to beg Sal to come on back, please subscribe to the Spiskin podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you listen to podcasts yourself. If you like what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and a rating as well. I will read your review on the air. I find that the negative reviews make me do better, whereas the positive reviews make me feel better. So it's kind of up to you, really, how you want me to react to your review. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me directly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at TheShahShahid. Thank you for everyone for listening. This is an expanded episode of the Splitscreen Podcast with Sal Salam. And until next time, take care.